Chut on page Resh Pei Beis. So even though it's snowing outside, the snow outside we're holding by Sukkos over here in the Maimer. My father says he remembers in Europe, and they had, and the schach was covered with snow.
Wow.
Right? It's a shas discussed in Halacha. We're not used to that. Let's read the Hagdam. It's always good to read the introduction. On page Reish Pei Beis, before we learn the text on top, let's read the introduction where it says Tochen HaPerek. HaChibik DeSukkah V'inyin HaNanuim L'Hach DeBelevis HaKor V'Achtis HaShem HaMitis HaNekudash NezBar BaPerek HaKaidim Hi. The point that was explained in the earlier section of the Maimer was SheKlolus HaAvayda DeRosh Hashanah V'Yom Kippur HiRatzai, that in general, even though there's a subdivision, but in general, the Avodas Hashem at the time of the year of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, in general, is Ratzo, which means She'odim Yisroimim V'yagia L'yais Panim B'Panim Im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's that effort of the person to lift himself up and to bring himself to Madrega of Panim B'Panim, as we were talking about the last few weeks, face to face, where his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pnimiyizdik and is warm and is real. He's no longer turned away from Hashem, he's turned towards Hashem. But all that means, as we spoke about over the past few weeks, Hisayris gedayla b'chol libo v'nafsho, with the great Hisayris, with all of his heart and soul. As we saw, that this itself is a subdivision, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, as we spoke about. We're not going to go into that right now. There is the feeling of bitterness and distance, right? Rosh Hashanah, the awareness of my distance, and then pushing myself through Aseres HaMetshuva to come on Yom Kippur lifnei Hashem, to be able to face Hashem. So, in general, the time of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur altogether is moving towards Hashem with great intensity, but it is divided into a period of also of distance and closeness. That's also part of the dance. Ulam kvar nisbor le'el. However, it was explained, Shatachlasi hashoiv abo la'achrei ratzoi. We learned that the tachlis is not that a person was sent into this world to remain in a state of constant Torah and tefillah. Hashem sent our neshamas into the physical world to be part of this world. But the tachlis is what's going to be in the shayv habala achra haratzai. When after that time of closeness, after that time of attachment, what will it be like for the person in physical reality? How will that person live in the physical world? Vi hayegia she'ahava rabazut es galagam b'chitzan yislibay. This means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that great fire of love that we have in the inner point of our heart should affect and influence and uplift chitzanyously by the external part of his heart, that my love for Hashem is Baruch should affect my physical life as well, not just my davening, my learning, not just when I'm in that stance of panim b'panim, but how is it going to be, what kind of a Jew am I when I'm not facing Kivyochel, I don't feel like I'm facing Hashem. I'm not in shul. I'm not in the middle of my avodas Hashem. But I'm facing a guy in the shuk. I'm facing my boss at work. I'm facing this world. How will I live, and how will I think at that time? V'zeu inyanu shel chag haSukkos. The koach to live the entire year, our chayim gashmim, our physical lives in holiness, that comes to us from Sukkos. From Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we have the ability to rise above the physical world, to rise above, to fly over everything. That's Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And to stand lifnei Hashem. So Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur gives us the kayach to just, during the entire year, to just fly over and to transcend all of reality. But through Sukkos, we have the ability to serve Hashem in reality, in the physical world. Zevinyan Shachag HaSukkos, Hayirida V'Hamshacha Shemizgal L'Mata V'Elim Esayar V'Espanam El Yerim Shalimin HaOlyayin. that God's love is revealed even in this physical world. Just like we saw that that period of Hashanah Yom Kippur consists of two movements, away and towards, right? Rosh Hashanah is that feeling of unbelievable bitterness and shock that a person has, that he is the king and who am I and what have I done. Through a status to make tshuva, there's a feeling of distance and bitterness, but then one finally draws closer and closer by Yom Kippur. So that period of time consists of the two movements in the dance, right, of away and towards, away, but even the being away is for the purpose of being closer. So too, that in general, the time of Sukkah Shemini Atzeres is the time of shuv, of returning to the physical world, of distance, of not feeling the intense reality of Panim Bepanim. But that too consists of two parts. The shuv gufa, the b'shpachagasus, kulu mishteh atnuas, the richa v'kirav, also, that the time of Sukkot consists also, subdivided into two categories, into two ways of the dance also, of distance and closeness. So I have the Sukkot, the Shemini Atzeres. And this is why we have Sukkot and Shemini Atzeres. We have Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and then we have Sukkot, Shemini Atzeres. The Sukkot is krivus v'richuk. Sukkot is the distance and the coldness. Shemini Atzeres is ahav v'kiv. And Shemini Atzeres and chastar is the love and the closeness. We're now going to learn in the general time period of Shuv, which is Sukkot Shemini Atzeres, we're going to learn now about Sukkot, which is a feeling a little bit of Richuk in order to come to the Kiruv. So let's begin on top. And through the process of this great exalted tshuva that takes place throughout the period of Hashanah Yom Kippur, from the depths of the heart, Meumka Deliba, Mizgala Besukis Bechinas V'Yimina Techabkeini. Whereas Hashanah Yom Kippur was more smaller tachas the Rashi, Hashem's left hand is under my head, Sukkis is V'Yimina Techabkeini. His right arm is embracing me. Sheyimin Elyain, hu b'chinas ahava rabba shelamala minatam v'das, that the higher right arm of Hashem, which means his great love for each and every Jew, which transcends all that is rational and all intellect, that never-ending love that Hashem Yisbach has, the ahava rabba, which is lamala minatam v'das, mizgala lamata begilui halev. It becomes revealed here in this world, the Gil Halev, revealed in the heart, that a person should feel that he can't be separated ever from Hashem. He's inseparable. He cannot be separated from Hashem. This is the meaning of Hashem embracing me, hugging me. When you're hugging somebody, there are two ways of looking at the embrace. One is a show of affection, but holding the person means I don't want to let go of you. I don't want you to go away from me. I can't let go of you. When you embrace the person, you don't want them to leave you. V'hainu eideh ha-sukkah. And that's what the sukkah means. That's Hashem's embrace. That Hashem's not letting us go. Right? The sukkah is b'chinas tzel. We're sitting in Hashem's shade, in His shadow. Shu b'chinas Hashem tzilcha. Hashem is your shade. Hashem hovers over us. Hashem is with us. He is embracing us, as we learn that the sukkah itself is shaped like an embrace. The three walls and a little bit that are required according to halacha. The thonas, that here's one daifin, here's another daifin, two, and the two walls in the mashu, not the three, but the two walls. So we have, this is one wall, and there's the second, and then there's the tefach of the third wall, right? That the two walls in a tefach, that's the way that you hug somebody, right? With the two walls, and the hand, the tefach. That's how you hold somebody. So this sukkah is v'yimina techapkeini. Now that sounds pretty close. It doesn't sound like any kind of distance. That sounds pretty close. Hashem's not letting go. Shubchin is Hashem silcha. V'yidei nanui halulav, and through the nanum, the movements of the lulav, which, as you know, according to the Arizal, is done in the sukkah. V'yidei nanui halulav, ki dalad minim shebelulav, heim reims and b'shem havaya. Sure, you also all know that the four minim of the lulav, the esrog, the hadasim, and the ravis correspond to the four letters of the shem yud kei vav kei, which the tzaddikim and the kabbalim can mamash see the letters. Umenanim umevim lalev, and we are minaneya. We shake, we move the arba minim towards the heart. That's the way api that I read the nanum take place, not like many people that you'll see that just shake things around a little bit. That there's supposed to be a little bit of a shaking. That's the subject of a discussion. It's not for now, but that's not the ikkah. The ikkah of the nanum is that the movement that takes place towards the heart, the same place where you go al chait. Not like this. People, a lot of people, are just standing with their hands out and they go like this. They shake like this. It's not I'm not saying it's not yaitzei. Api that I read, that's not the nanu. The nanu is just not shaking. The nanu is to go and to bring the arbaminim towards the heart. Towards the heart. That's how the nanum take place, towards the heart. Umenanim umevim lalev. Shekol havo hu lalev. Bringing something back means v'ashevayis alavach, means bringing you to the heart. K'deliyas meyur mezgalav libe shaladim. The point is that this love that Hashem has for us should illuminate and fill a person's heart. V'zeh shumenanen l'shis sitrin, and that's why the movements are to all six directions, the four directions of east, west, north, and south, and above and below. Above, below, in the four directions. That Hashem Yisbarach's unity is felt, is revealed on heaven and earth and for all four directions of reality. Since Hashem is called the place of the world, He is the place. Everything takes place within Hashem's reality. As it says in Pasuk, Hine Makim Iti. Which it says there that the Baruch Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu after the Chet HaEgel, Hine Makim Iti. Kamesha Kasavi Makim Achav. It's Sarach Lahamshech Lahachnes Bechines Echa Belev. Therefore, that oneness of Hashem, above, below, and all four directions, is brought with the lulav, with the four meaning, which is the name of Hashem, is brought into the heart, towards the heart, and into the heart. Hashem's name, which are the four meaning, by Yemahu Yahashem Echad, Ushmai Echad, the unity of Hashem that's revealed, of the name Yudke Vavke, which is the Arba meaning, the four meaning of the lulav and Esrog, Hadassim Neravis, the movements take place above, below, in the four directions towards the heart, in order to draw into my heart that unity of God's name as it exists above, below, in all four directions. Shia Hashem Echad Shayur Mezgala by Melamehevi Echad Be'echad, so that the one of Hashem dwells, is revealed in the person's heart, and the one joins together with the one. And there is this joining together of the one and the one. Okay, let's learn the Perush. The bottom of the page, the right hand side, Resh Pei Beis. La'achrei ha'avoida d'aseres ha'metshuva. After the avoida of the aseres ha'metshuva, tshuva me'unka d'liba, which consists of tshuva from the depths of the heart, ha'meviya l'gilu p'nimiyas ha'leiv, Hanimejas Bakosov, as we learned, Smoilai Tachas Lereshi, that Hashem's left hand is beneath my head. Boim Lichaga Sukkis. You come to the Yantiv of Sukkis. Sha'oz Ahava Rabbe Zu, Shemitzad Pnimi Yisalei, Shalamala Mitam Vedaz. Then, that great, infinite love of Hashem. Ahava Rabbe Zu, Shemitzad Pnimi Yisalei, which is revealed in the inner heart of a Jew, the panim, the pnim of a Jew, which is shlamal mitam vedas, which transcends all understanding. As we learned, that's called b'chinas kedem shabadim. Remember, achor v'kedem tzartani means that comes from that aspect of my creation that preceded all physical reality, that comes from the highest place. That means that the pnimius, the inner point of a Jew, feels that ahava. The point, of course, is that it should be mezgala lamata. How is that going to be revealed lamaisa in my life? So it's mezgalis lamata. Hayne begil b'chitzanis alev, which means even in the external part of the heart, b'chinas achor shabai, which is that part that's called achor. That even the physical part of my life, even that part of my life that is connected to the nefesh bahamas, to the animal soul, which is the left side of the heart, should not allow for separation between me and God. That even the physical, in other words, to draw that inner point of the heart to the external part of the heart, ad kedei kach, that even at the time that I'm living in the achor aspect of life, which is physical life, that I should be unable to separate from God, that I should be inseparable from the master of the world. That Hashem's right arm embraces me, doesn't let me go, doesn't let me forget him, doesn't let me leave him. She is galas yamin ha'elyon, which reveals the higher right hand of Hashem, b'chinas ahava, which is Hashem's love, gam b'chalas smiley, even in the left side of my heart, even the external part of the heart, even in the physical things of my life. V'zeu techabkeni, that's what it means, that Hashem's right hand arm embraces me. K'moshul ha'mechabek is chavei shleyelechim, like someone who's hugging his friend, that the friend shouldn't go away from him. V'zeu shumadayik techabkeni. She's galas ahava zu al ha'adam, he k'moshul ha'mechabek is chavei shleyelechim imenu. Not like a person who, during davening and learning, he feels connected to Hashem, but then right away he leaves Hashem's presence and goes into the world, and then he can do all kinds of avers and forget about God. The point is that after experiencing the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Smol Tach Zereishi of the day, which is a feeling of tshuv mi'umka deliba, attachment to Hashem, the pnimius halev, which beikos by davening. That afterwards, when the person leaves shul, that the Baruch Shalom is still with him. The Yemina Techabkeni, he doesn't let go of him. That's the Tachlis. That even in the part of my life that's Achor, that the way that a Jew conducts himself in business, the way he conducts himself in his home, the way he eats and sleeps, the way that he lives with a husband, with a wife, all of that is the Yemina Techabkeni. The question is Hashem still embracing you, or is he not embracing you? Do you feel that God has let go of you, or does he still hold on to you? If you're dishonest at work, it means that even though you had the best davening in the world, you're not connected to him anymore. And so it is with everything in life. That's techabkeini. Ubenim shel harezeh gilu yahava b'chol asmai shel adam shelule yachibuk hayanas nifrud min yisbarach. If not for this embrace, if not for this hug, and you would be separated from Hashem, Chas Hashem. V'ahainu, how does this take place? What gives us the strength that throughout the entire year, when we're involved in physical things outside of Torah and Tefillah, that we should still feel that we can't be separated, that we're connected to Hashem, and that He's still holding us and embracing us? So He says, Achibuk, this comes to Sukkos. So Sukkot is a very earthy yontif. Everything with Sukkot takes place with physical things. The whole yontif of Sukkot is very physical. The lulav, the hadas, and the esrog, the arabis, it's all from the produce of this world. It's not standing in shul and thinking and his bainus and that. It's being in the sukkah, it's the su'udis, it's the eating and the drinking and the arbaminim and being in an outdoor temporary dwelling, which was built by the ikkas, by stam, things of this world, dafka, things that are makabaltum, right? That are not makabaltum, meaning that in this physical world, that the Baruch Shalom says that man's involvement with the physical world does not force him to be makabaltum. Adarabba, that the person, his relationship with the world can remain via mina techabkeni in the physical world, which is the tachlis of creation. Rosh Hashanah Kippur is not the tachlis of creation. Rosh Hashanah Kippur is because we botched up stuff, and then we have to remember and we have to come back. But the tachlis is to be in the world. The Baruch Hashem doesn't want that we should be in shul 12 hours every day. He doesn't want that. That's not the Rosh of Hashem. The Rosh of Hashem is, and that we shouldn't eat, we shouldn't, husband or wife, and so on and so forth. That's not the tachlis of being a Jew. Because the neshama could have stayed in Shemayim, didn't have to get involved in anything. The tachlis is that even when you officially leave Hashem's presence, that you still sense His embrace, you still feel that He's holding you, that He's hugging you. He's saying that if a person feels suffering, it's a very high madrega. By the big tzaddikim, certainly, it's not felt in such a way. But it's a very, very high level to reach, that a person should, if a person feels that the suffering is itself part of Hashem's embracing him, then as Rabbi Nachman writes, that the only reason that a person is suffering is because he's lacking in that awareness of God's love. If a person would feel every single second God's love, then he wouldn't suffer. He wouldn't suffer. The same way that a child would not suffer from a parent's rebuke or a student from a Rebbe's rebuke, if the child would be completely, completely confident in the parent's love, and would know, the student would feel that everything my Rebbe says comes out of pure love, then it wouldn't be suffering. Because of a lack of this awareness, and because a person feels that he's been let go by Hashem, and Hashem's not holding him, so then there's suffering. Or there's a sense, there's a feeling of suffering. And the suffering that a tzaddik feels for another Jew is only because the tzaddik knows that other Jew is not holding where he is. The tzaddik cries over somebody else, losing his job. The tzaddik who loses his own job doesn't suffer. But the tzaddik cries over another Jew losing his job because the tzaddik knows that Jew is suffering terribly. That Jew is in pain. And it's unbearable that another Jew is in pain. Just like Hashem cries, because He knows that we are suffering. So why doesn't Hashem put an end to the suffering? The Teretz is that in that deepest, deepest reality, it's not really suffering. We don't understand that. The Yemina Techabkeini means even when a person is suffering, that's Hashem is embracing the person. Hashem never lets go of the person. We just feel that He's let go. We feel that He's let go. How could this happen to me? How could Hashem leave me this way? The tzaddik doesn't feel that. It's not a kasha. How did Hashem leave me like this? How could Hashem have left me to my misery? That's not true. And this we receive through the sukkah, through the yontif of sukkahs. V'ayinu ayideh sukkah b'chnes tzel, which is the shade. Shu b'chnes Hashem tzilcha, that Hashem is our shade. Hachibuk shel yimin ha'elyoin b'chag ha'sukkos. This embrace, the higher right arm of Hashem that takes place on Sukkos. His galus ha'ahav al Hashem b'seich ha'chol ha'smali shebeleif. That a person should feel even in the external part of his heart, even when he's not learning and davening, even when he's in physical things, he should still feel connected to Hashem. That is the spiritual content of this Yontif of Sukkot, sitting in the Sukkot and benching with the Arba Minim. Everybody knows that the essence of the Sukkah is the shade of the Sukkah. That's why it's called the Sukkah after the word Tzach. Tzach means the covering, which gives shade. And the din is, of course, that Salasa has to be removed from Chamasa, that there has to be more shade in the Sukkah than sunlight. If not, the Sukkah is possible, right? That's what makes a Sukkah, the shade. Ikun Yonash al-Sukkah Tzel Sukkah, B'chnis Tzel. Shnikur B'zoya, Tzela D'meh Menusen, and you also all know that in the Zohar Kodesh, the Sukkah is called the shade of faith. Tzela D'meh Menusa. B'chinis Hashem Tzilcha, to believe that Hashem is hovering over you, that Hashem is with you, that Hashem is protecting you.
No, Rabbi, there's two Tzel. You know, there's a Tzel Mutal and Tzel Muchal. There's a Tzel coming from the sun, and it's also Tzel that your body is projecting into. So that's what he's talking about, that your body is projecting.
Good, very good. Okay.
We learn it in sharpshooting, you know, that you have to.
You have to be careful because you get mixed up.
Yeah, you have to know how to when you see something like it's 1 mile away, you have to look to know what height it is, or the distance. So only it's not by the sun, because the sun can smear it. So the body itself has its own visual cell that then you can calculate the distance.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
this
he did that stuff.
So I did this
stuff.
But not at all. He did it.
It's amazing of all the things you know.
I always say, if we wouldn't have Yehuda here, we'd be bored all the time. Yehuda's unbelievable. And he's a young guy. Yeah, I always say this. I always tell my wife Yehuda. I always tell her all the things he said. So, you know, this is like while we were sitting, like while we were fighting over basketball, like, you know, in gym, or worrying about the Yankees, and Yehuda was figuring out how to kill some Arabs someplace with this son of a shame. Yeah, like a couple of miles away, I had to kill the guy. That's it.
He ran in your respect.
Yeah, you ran. It's good that you ran. Yeah. That's right. Commotion is boiler L. Because I told you when I was in Eretz Yisrael and I was in school, I had to go to the Gadna thing, you know, and they gave me a gun. It was one of the most embarrassing things in my life for the Israelis. The Israelis were all shooting the target.
Right.
It was like 100 yards away. I don't know. It was pretty far. I remember, at the time I was 13 years old. I'm trying to remember. It seemed to me it was very far. And they gave me the gun, and they didn't show me anything. They just said shoot the target over there. And everybody watches you, and all the Israelis are getting it, like, you know, in the thing, you know. And yeah, when I shot, so the leaves in the tree, like, there were leaves falling down, like, from the trees. Because the things were put up against trees, like, you know. And they were, like, getting boom, boom on the target. And I shot the thing first, like, knocks you back. And I looked to see what happened. It was just like things. Like 50 feet away from the target, stuff was going on. Nothing even in the neighborhood of where I shot. That was... I did it a few times, and I really couldn't. I just couldn't get it. And my mother was very upset that they gave me a gun, and my father was very happy they gave me a gun. I remember my mother wanted to write a letter to pat me up. My father said to give him the extra time to do it, that he should learn not to be a baby, and whatever. In the end, they were messiahs for me with that stuff. They didn't make me do it afterwards. Yeah, they were nervous. Maybe they get shot themselves. They didn't know where it was going to go, the bullets. Yeah. But, all right, so the cell of the sukkah, that's the main, that's what the sukkah is. It's the shade of the sukkah. B'chinas cell, it's cell of the menusa. B'chinas Hashem silchim, which is brala, the habas Hashem, shepnim yisalev, megin al ha'odam. You see, what protects a Jew when he leaves shul, when you leave yeshiva, what's going to keep you a yid? When you what is the shade? The shade means it goes with you wherever you are, right? That's what they say. There's something that protects you all the time. Right. So you're in the sunlight, and the sunlight could mamish kill you. The sunlight means this world, which is called Tachas HaShemesh. This world is Tachas HaShemesh. The world that we're in is called beneath the sun. Like Kohelet says, right? Shlomo Melech says. So we're living beneath the sun. The sun is very strong. It consists of all. It consists of work and all physical things, which is called under the sun. So Hashem is Baruch provided us with shade. Hashem Tzilcha. Hashem is our shade. That shade of Hashem's presence, what does that mean? Lamaisa. It means that even when I'm in the sunlight, I feel His presence. That's what the shade does. And that protects me. That means when the love of God, when the love that a person has for Hashem extends beyond the Pnimius Alev, which is Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, which is Pnimius, which is Davening and all those big things, you know, when the love that I have for Hashem flows even to the external part of my heart, it means that then God's presence in my life protects me beyond the walls of the yeshiva, beyond the walls of the Bais Medrash. Surrounds me like the sukkah, even when I'm at work, even when I'm at physical things. I'm surrounded by that feeling of Hashem Yisbarach's love and my love for Hashem. Shepnimius alev megina l'ha'adam da'av Hashem shepnimius alev megina l'ha'adam k'meitzel ha'magin mechaim ha'ashemesh. That love that comes from the inner point of my heart is, has the ability to protect me and to surround me like the shade that protects a person from the heat of the sun. Shagam kishe'odam osuk b'meshach hayom b'inyanav ha'gashmim, so that even when the person is busy during the entire day with his physical things, le'yipol achor le'gamrei b'yahav erach ha'sashom, he won't, God forbid, and if he won't feel the intensity of davening and learning, and he's not supposed, I mean, he's not supposed to because he's working, and if he feels like he does when he's davening and learning, he's not going to be able to work. But there's the shade of Hashem's presence, which means that that because of that love that came from the Pnimius Alev and was flowing to the Chitzanius Alev, so that even during the time that he's involved with the Nefesh of Bahamas, with the animal soul, there is enough of a feeling of God's presence that shades the person and protects him from falling into false love, into dangerous love, which means what? It's enough that during the course of the day, when you're handling with some business deal, you don't actually believe that that's anything important. You know that it's totally ridiculous. And you don't actually, like, you know, love this world. You don't fall in love with the world. You don't fall in love with the physical things. You tolerate them, and you serve Hashem through them. But you don't fall in love with your, you know, with your pastrami sandwich. You eat it, and if you like it, but you don't, you're not mishigi. You don't have an ahavara. So it'll protect you, of course, that you shouldn't do an aveira. That's Ein Moladab, that a Jew would not do any aveira during the day. Because he can't separate from God. He feels God's presence. And he knows that any wrong word, or any thought, or any action that's an aveira is separating from God. He can't do that. He can't bring himself to be separated from God. He doesn't necessarily feel the intense, panim upon him, connection to God. He can't feel that while he's working. That's just not human nature. He's out in the world, and he's got to do his job. He's got to concentrate on the machine, on the patient, on this. Now he's got to concentrate. But there's a Roshim, as we learned, that the Ahava has infiltrated into the Chitzenius Alev, into the external part of the heart, the left side of the heart. Ad kedei kach, that v'yemina techabkeini means that Hashem embraces me, and he's holding on to me, even while I'm at work. That I shouldn't slip, God forbid, into an aveir. That I shouldn't slip into taking the world too seriously, to taking physical reality as something which is serious, that a person actually begins to love the world, to love physical things. He does what he has to do. He takes care of what he has to take care of. And he does his things. He eats and he drinks and he sleeps. Gesundheit. You do everything you're supposed to do. But you don't love the world. You are part of the world, but you always feel separated from the world by Hashem's cell, by Hashem's shadow, and the sunlight of the world doesn't burn you. Getting burnt by the sunlight, like Shlomo Melech says also, when Shlomo Melech speaks about Shchairani, the darkness, Venava, the darkness and the beauty at the same time, Shezafsani Hashemesh, that the sun has burned my skin. Right? The sun has burned me. When a Jew cries out in Shir Shir Mabayin Shalom, and we say that Friday, we're going to Shabbos, that Al Tiruni Shanishcha Chayris, we say to Hashem, don't look at me, I'm black. I'm dark. Dark means from what? This world, from the Avayrism, this world. Why am I dark? So we try to explain to Hashem, what do you want from me? Shizafsani Hashem, which means that the sunlight has burned me. That's why I'm dark. I'm not really inside of myself a dark person. I'm not really. Inside of myself I'm filled with light. But the sunlight, the burning sunlight of this world has burnt me. Isn't it interesting how the goyim have a sugar to get suntans? Isn't it an amazing thing? As my father said, and my mother said, when they never saw that. When they came to America, they see the Michigan, that they go to lie out in the sun to get themselves burnt. But that's considered to be the most beautiful, the most glamorous, right? You have people that they go special to stores, chvayis, what they're called, spas, to get a tanning salon. They go pay money to get dark. To get cooked. They go pay money to get cooked. Which is bechlal, all these things are sakana, they're dangerous. Yeah. It's not good for a person. It's a sakana. So look what's, it's so interesting. But by Jews, there was always the sunlight was always something that we saw as an adversary. Something that's, we're at odds with the sun. Really, Jews are much more connected to the moon, as you all know. We count time by the moon. We're at odds with the sun. We have problems with our relationship with the sun. The goyim are sun worshippers. Sun worshippers. That's how they advertise. Now, that's what it means. And they used to worship Bahamas, the sun. Now they call sun worshipping, you know, go to the Bahamas or, you know, go to Florida or something.
They still worship the sun. That's the
one. Oh, that's yeah. But it's an interesting thing that the connection that they have to the sun, which we're saying that the sunlight burns a person. The sunlight means the physical reality. And all the guy wants to do is to burn himself more and more in physical reality.
And he worships the sun.
Worships?
His son.
Oh, his own child. He shouldn't do that either. You're not supposed to worship your children either. That's a very bad thing when people worship their children.
I mean worship, I mean embrace.
To love your children. Love. You don't worship anything except the Baruch Shalom. People that worship their children end up doing all kinds of avarious also.
Yeah, to love.
Yeah. My poor Yankee, he's supposed to sit for 6 hours, 7, 8 hours a day with a Gemara. It's a Rachmanis. Such a Rachmanis. Oh, I can't do it. 1 hour a day, tops. And even then, I'm going to make sure the Rebbe doesn't bother him. The sun worshippers. So, nothing my child does can be wrong, you know. Kalpanim, the relationship that the Goyim have with the sun is very fascinating. That they like the sunlight. And even when it's dark, they want to go and get burnt by the sun. And Jews live under the moon much more. In that mystery of the darkness and Malchus Hashem, and what that means in David HaMelech, David HaMelech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim, Jews daven, and we call out when we're standing by the moon. There is an inyan that we have, of course, of Birchus HaChama. That's a very, very, very beginning, and it's very rare. Right, it's very, very beginning. But our connection is to the moon. And the moon, of course, means that the sunlight is being blocked. That's what the night is, that the sun is being blocked. We're going to talk about that by Rabbi Nachman tonight also, Mitzvah Shem. Rezeb B'chinas Shemesh, as we're up to in the piece in the first title, Lekuta Maran. Rezeb B'chinas Shemesh, the Seichel Shebechaldav, the inner point of all reality. Rezeb B'chinas Shemesh, but he speaks about the moon and the sun. We'll learn that in Mitzvah Shem tonight. But the goyim are obsessed with the sun. And they enjoy burning themselves under the sun. And Jews are embarrassed. And we say to Hashem, Al tiruni shani shechayris. Rabbi Shalom, don't look at me, I'm so dark. And he doesn't become a Jew. It has nothing to do with physical. Shezafani Hashem, which means that I've been burnt. What do you want from me? You put me into this physical world, I got burnt by it. The physical world is burning me. That's why. But really, Bamis Shchera Nivanava. But really, inside of me, I'm so beautiful, and in a second, I can get rid of all this schmutz. That's what the whole Shir Shirim is about. And in Kohelet, Shlomo HaMelech is crying over the Metzias of getting lost Tachas HaShemesh, getting lost in the world that's under the sun. It's all that Shlomo HaMelech is crying about. It's going to be with us, Tachas HaShemesh. So this is the shade of the Sukkah. That even when a person is involved in Yonav HaGashim, in his physical things, which is under the sun, he won't, God forbid, get burnt by the sun. He's protected by the shade of the love that he has for Hashem that reaches even to the outer part of his heart. That he feels Hashem's embrace, Hashem is holding him. So that even when the person is not facing Hashem, fakir, an embrace, dafki, you don't see the person when you're hugging the person, right? You don't see the person when you're hugging the person. It's amazing. When you're hugging the person, you're not looking at the person. Right? You're hugging the person, you're not facing the person. So how is a Jew to remain a Yid? How do you remain a Yid when you're not facing the Baruch Shalom in shul and davening and learning? It's v'yemina techab keini, yisukas. It's in the physical world that a person still feels the ahav, the love. That's what an embrace means. I'm not letting you go, even though I can't see you. I'm not letting go of you. Even though you can't see me, don't let go of me. That's the meaning of Sukkot. The meaning of the Chakeni, the Tzel, in the shade. The Milam Pshutas Yosef. Simple words, the end of the page. Hachibik the Sukkot in Yonav Shagam in Yonav Agashim Yu Chadurim B'Kedusha. The chibuk, the embrace of the sukkah, means that even when the physical things of my life should be filled, infused with holiness. A keterchena poshut shel mitzvah sukkah, which is the simple meaning of the mitzvah of sukkah. Shechayav la'asay says, sarachim agashmiyim, that one does all of one's things in the shade of Hashem's presence. I eat, I sleep, I drink. Right? All of that I do in the sukkah. Achila, Shasiya, Shina, Tiul. I'm supposed to be in the Sukkah. All the things I do in the Sukkah. It means everything I'm doing in my physical life is in Hashem's shade. Normally I don't feel it. I'm in a brick house and I don't feel that. Or I'm someplace else. The meaning of the Sukkah is Seilud the Mehemen of the Sukkah. I'm sitting in the Tzel of Hashem. And in this place where I feel, where I sense Hashem's embracing me, I eat, I drink, I sleep, and so on. B'toich HaSukkah. A person would say, wow, Sukkah is a holy place. It says, Shem Shemayim is Chalal HaSukkah. Sukkah is holy. I really shouldn't eat or drink in the Sukkah. And Hashem's book says, that's the whole point, is to eat and drink in the Sukkah. U'bekach, ma'isim gashim e'elu hoifchim liyaz mitzvah. And what's the most amazing thing? The simple act of eating in the sukkah is a mitzvah deraisa, becomes a big mitzvah. Drinking, eating, sleeping, all these physical things in the sukkah become a way of serving God, which I don't feel other times. When I eat and drink and sleep, all these things in the sukkah are lifted up to being a mitzvah, mamish.
So Rabbi, if Beit Din kofer al ben adam liot besukkah, mitzvah Sanhedrin, this is part of it, or... When you coffee, I love him, you can beat him up for not davening in the sukkah.
Because his body doesn't want to listen to the truth of Hashem's presence. You give him a patch. That you tell the body to be quiet. You give when someone makes noise, you give him a patch. When the body makes too much noise, you give it a patch.
So you force him to be in the sukkah.
Yeah, you give a patch. You tell the body, be quiet. L'cheinim shel adav l'chibuk. That's why it's compared to a chibuk, to an embrace. Kamei chibuk gashmi, like a physical hug, shemachabik is chavei me'achayrev, as I said a moment ago, where you hug the person from the back. As you're holding him in his back, you don't see him in his face. Da'charayim koi al chayev agashmi al shalad. What does it mean, the back? The back means physical things. Eating, drinking, sleeping, and so on. That's what it means, the back of one's life. That's the achor. That's the part of me that's physical. The kedem is my face. The kedem is facing Hashem. The kedem is the ruchni. This is learning and davening. That's the kedem. That's face to face. The back is when I'm not facing Hashem. I'm eating and drinking and sleeping. That takes place in the sukkah because it means that even when you're eating and drinking and sleeping, the Baruch Hashem doesn't let go of you. And you don't let go of Him, even though you can't see Him. You're eating and drinking are physical acts, but they're physical acts but while being in Hashem's embrace. And while embracing Hashem's book. We're going to stop here. He begins to talk about the Nanum of the Lulav. We're going to have to review it next time anyway. We can't. It's all part of this one, any of the Nanum. So we'll Mitzvah continue here next week.